responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator...
Good day, Tokers and Tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, February 22nd, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We're glad you could all join us. I'm all alone here at Rolla J Studios, but I'm never alone when I'm joined in the virtual studio by our senior news editor, Cannabis Carrie. How you doing, Carrie?
Hi. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you. We've made it to hump day. It's 2:22. So we're getting very alliterative on today's show.
Nice.
We've got all sorts of great stuff on today's show. As usual, on Wednesdays, we visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, one of America's leading researchers on marijuana and its consumers. That'll be at the bottom of the hour. And you can get your calls in live if you've got any questions on marijuana culture, history, science, medicine. Dr. Mitch will be available at half past at our phone number here, 971-533-7111. Or if you're shy, you can get your questions in via the chat room. But before we get to all of that, right after this first break, we go to Cannabis Carrie with our hemp headlines. So what do we have in the news today?
Well, I know you'll love this. I've got two sports stories coming up in the news today, one from the wrestling world and another from the NBA. Also, we're going to go to California, where they have all kinds of problems. We've got some dispensary closures I want to talk to you about, and also a raid that happened yesterday. That's all coming up in today's Hemp Headlines.
Okay, check that out right after the first break. Also, at 20 after, we take our daily Toker Tunes break, and it's Ivy Wednesday. Now, normally we'd be speaking with NorCal Perps, but today we're getting a guest DJ, our own Wiz Calico. We're going to give him a call because he wants to promote his boys Revolution and their new album. He's got a brand new song from them called Sky's the Limit, and we'll get to hear it at 20 past. At the end of the show, it'll be time for a radical rant, and boy, I tell you, the comments have been pouring in on Normal's endorsement of Washington State's I-502. This has led me to do a whole bunch of research and take a look at some of the opposition and see what they're saying. They are spreading all sorts of scurrilous lies and distortions about I-502. Hey, I'm cool if you disagree with 502. That's fine. That's your choice. But at least let's tell the truth about it. Let's tell people what they're really up against here. And I swear, I'll stick to the truth as well. We'll talk about all that and more coming up next.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. My job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month. And when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network.
Inhaling deeply of the sacred smoke.
This is Normal Show Live.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or a flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
This comes to us from the Mercury News. A raid in Vallejo, California yesterday of a prominent dispensary resulted in the arrest of Matthew Shotwell, who founded and operates the Greenwell Cooperative. A raid was conducted on his home, business, and associated properties by local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies. Shotwell was arrested for cultivation of marijuana, possession of marijuana, illegal sales of marijuana, and operating a location that supplies marijuana. The U.S. Attorney's Eastern District, California office has also opened an investigation to a potential civil action against the owner of the building. In what has become typical raid-like fashion, officials from the U.S. DEA, the California State Board of Equalization, the State Franchise Tax Board, the Solano County Narcotics Task Force, and the local Vallejo Police Department all descended on the Greenwell Cooperative about 9 a.m., detaining employees and clients alike, while they walked through and went through desks and computers and drawers, stripping down some marijuana plants that they had found. Employees and clients were allowed to leave shortly after noon. The Board of Equalization had made a visit to all the dispensaries in the area last summer to ensure that they were paying their proper taxes. It is believed that as many as 25 dispensaries had been a target since those summer visits. Many of those have since closed down. Vallejo City Councilwoman Marty Brown, who has long pushed for the city to create medical marijuana dispensary regulations, was surprised by news of the raid and said she was annoyed that the federal government's crackdown in California seems to be so random. She said the DEA and state governments should just stay out of things, saying that the city had recently instituted a 10% tax on medical marijuana sales in a voter initiative that received a wide margin of voter approval last November. The city's plan to regulate and limit the number of dispensaries in town, estimated to be as many as 25 storefronts now, however, has been scrapped with the announcement of the federal crackdown and pending lawsuits in other parts of the state.
It's got to be frustrating to people when you know that the people in your city have approved of what you're doing, the town fathers, the, you know, aldermen or whoever it is, councilman, whatever it is out there in California, have approved of this. They're taxing it. They think it's a much better solution than the status quo. You're abiding by the laws. The fellow people in your entire state, you know, some 36 million of them had approved laws that had been updated by the legislature and approved there. But all of that goes for naught because some people outside your state don't like it. Some people somewhere else in Washington, D.C. have a problem with that. It's got to be ultimately frustrating. And, you know, the solution for all of this, of course, is legalization, as we all know. So long as we separate patients and criminals, the cops will always want to come after the criminals, and they will suspect the patients of being criminals and hiding criminals and abetting criminals. The only way out of this is true legalization. So it'd be a really real shame if any of these dispensaries that got raided were any of the ones that helped to defeat Prop 19 in 2010. If any of these were some of the No on 19 dispensaries that were handing out flyers and passing off all sorts of scaremongering about what Prop 19 would do, considering that would have been the first step to legalization and would have actually set up a situation where many patients would have been even more protected than they are now. So I really hope they weren't one of the ones there that were fighting against Prop 19 as they're facing all of these charges.
And in sports news, the Nevada State Athletic Commission has suspended Nick Diaz because he tested positive for marijuana after UFC 143. The 170-pound champion fought Carlos Condit for the welterweight title on February 4th in Las Vegas, but lost his title in a close decision. Later, it came out that his urine tested positive for marijuana metabolites. Nevada State Athletic Commission oversees the rules for the Mixed Martial Ultimate Fighting Championship Series. The executive director, Keith Kizer, filed a complaint asking to suspend Diaz's fighting license until they can hold a disciplinary hearing. The commission granted that request today, and they will hold a hearing on that issue at some later date, although that date has not yet been set. This is Nick Diaz's second failed test due to marijuana. He tested positive after a fight all the way back in 2007 against Takanori Gomi. His victory in that bout was changed to a no contest, and he was suspended for 6 months, and he had to forfeit 20% of the purse in that fight. In his hearing on the matter in front of the commission, Diaz might bring up that he is legally allowed to use marijuana in his home state of California, where he has a medical marijuana card. And he may also try to apply for a therapeutic use exemption, which is an unprecedented request when it comes to marijuana. But we'll keep you posted on this one.
Once again, a ridiculous situation where athletes, people who are in the prime of good shape and do everything they can to keep their bodies honed to the ultimate in perfection for whatever they're taking on, whether it be Olympic swimming like Michael Phelps, or whether it be, you know, battling guys on the gridiron in the NFL or in the paint in the NBA, or in this case, in the octagon with Nick Diaz, going into the ring to face another well-trained fighter who wants to take his head off, and we've got a problem with whether or not he smokes pot. That's the big problem we need to worry about. Not whether they're taking, you know, crushing blows to the skull that can lead to Parkinson's disease. Not whether they're getting locked up into arm bars and leg locks that can dislocate shoulders and break knees. No, that's not the problem. This kid's smoking pot. That could lead to some harm. Jeez, it's just so ridiculous. You know, I really wish that we could just form the SFC, the Stoner Fighting Championships. Let's have a league where there is a drug test, and the drug test is you have to test positive for marijuana. Let's do it in all sports. Let's do it in swimming. Let's do it in basketball. Let's do it in football. And then have a championship at the end, right? Let's have a tournament. We could probably pull this off with the UFC since it's one-on-one, right? Have the UFC's best fighters versus the pot-smoking best fighters, you know, face off against each other. Let's just see how that turns out. I know the non-pot smokers will probably blow us away. I mean, like George St. Pierre, for example. I don't think he smokes pot, but still, I mean, if this is such a problem, if this is such an issue, it's just ludicrous to me to think that we accept these guys, you know, taking all sorts of punishment, all sorts of body blows, head blows. We accept them using all sorts of painkillers, doing all sorts of things to keep them in the ring, on the field, on the court. But we're going to worry about whether they smoke a little bit of pot, not whether they're drinking after the fight, not whether they're getting drunk. No, no, not a problem. Not whether they're smoking cigars and cigarettes or whatever to celebrate, but whether or not they're smoking pot. Just ridiculous.
And the city of Berkeley has issued two cease and desist orders for collectives in their city. The 40 Acres Medical Marijuana Growers Collective has shut down their doors due to a letter from the city informing them that their business was operating in violation of the city's codes. They had permission to be there, being grandfathered in before the voter passed Measure T in November of 2010. Measure T set new and restrictive guidelines for dispensaries and collectives. Berkeley's new rule only permits 3 dispensaries that can only be operated in commercial zones. They allow collectives only if they are operating in residential areas and only if they are incidental to a residence. The 40 Acres Collective has grown substantially in the last year, having up to 7,000 members and 21 staff members. They were using 11 residential units, and they sold medical cannabis on consignment. They also offered pipes and bongs for sale. They had regular events and advertised the collective's services at cannabis events and on their website. For all those reasons, the city officials decided that they were operating as a dispensary rather than a collective. The owners were contesting that assessment, saying that as a collective under California law, you're allowed to pull your resources any way you see fit. And advertising for more members and passing out flyers at events is a form of pooling their resources. But the city, upon inspection of the collective, had discovered that the landlord in this case had converted what was licensed as a dance studio into some converted apartments and ordered them all vacated. So the operation was forced to close down anyway. Owners say that they are still in the space for now, but they have no plans to relocate. If they had remained open, they would have faced a $500 a day fine. The sudden closure also means that 21 people have lost their jobs. Now, the other collective perspective, the Perfect Plants patient group is still operating but is being threatened for being in a non-residential zoning district in violation of the Berkeley Municipal Code. They've been operating within 600 feet of a middle school. In a Cannabis Commission meeting, representatives of other collectives complained that the two businesses were acting like dispensaries without having to pay taxes to the city. But they asked the city if they could pay taxes, but up until last month, the city was not equipped to give a collective a business license that would let them pay taxes. Now, the weakness in the system may be the limit of only having three dispensaries in the city. There is a report that one of the largest of the three permitted dispensaries has received a warning letter from the federal government that they must shut down over some other violations. So with the other dispensaries that are left in the city being much smaller and the closure of these larger collectives, it's estimated that that would eliminate over 50% of the medicinal marijuana that is now being sold currently in Berkeley.
Well, once again, I'm loath to criticize anybody who's buying or selling marijuana, you know, because it's really not that big a deal. But let's get into this meaning of dispensary and collective for a minute. It sounds to me like Berkeley was trying to say, look, if you're living at home and you and a bunch of patients want to get together and work together to collectively cultivate medicine, that's cool. And if you want to have a dispensary that's going to be, you know, storefront and advertising and all of that to the public in general, that's cool too. But it sounds to me like the people that running the collectives want to be dispensaries, right? Without going through the hoops of being the dispensary here. And I got to ask you something about this. Now, this isn't the collective in this story, but this is one that I took a picture of while I was in L.A. at the Medical Cannabis Cup. This Canna King collective that says $300 an ounce, $40 for an eighth. So can someone in California explain to me how is it that when we get together collectively and share the expenses collectively and share the labor collectively and collectively harvest a bunch of weed and sell it to each other collectively, why is it priced at the same level that it takes one guy to produce, plant, harvest, and sell that stuff in the black market?
And in some non-marijuana news from the world of sports, Baron Davis is the new guard on the Knicks NBA team. And on Monday night, during his debut on the court, he knocked down a three-pointer. Seconds later, television cameras caught him with his hand to his mouth and his index and finger and thumb in a circle. Screen grabs for Davis started circling the internet that he was celebrating by giving what can only be called now as the universal "I'm hitting a joint" hand signal. Even a headline on Tuesday morning read, Baron Davis celebrates hitting a J by pretending to hit a J. But yesterday, to clear up the controversy, Davis pointed out via Twitter that he was merely holding up three fingers for the three-pointer he just made and kissing them, adding, "Stop fishing and hating, please." Davis joined the Knicks in December, but has been nursing a back injury. He played his first 9 minutes with the Knicks in Monday night's game.
All right. Well, let's just examine that theory here. The general symbol for a three-pointer in the NBA is like this, right? Kind of like the OK symbol. You know, you'll throw that up, say, OK, right? That's your three-pointer, right? And you'll see the refs throw that up, right? The symbol for holding a joint is generally this one, where you've got a pinch going on there between the forefinger and the thumb. And so if you were making the three-pointer sign and trying to kiss it like this, I suppose, Carrie, I haven't seen the picture. Is there a pinch between the forefinger and thumb, or is there an okay-like symbol between forefinger and thumb?
I got to be honest. I didn't look at the picture either. I just thought it was kind of a funny story. It really didn't hit marijuana. It was just something that I came across, and I thought that was pretty good. I thought he was actually celebrating by doing the point, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He gets to say what he was doing.
I love it. This justification of his. Now, maybe he's absolutely right. Maybe he was just, you know, given the three-pointer symbol and all that, and he wasn't really smoking a J. And, you know, maybe
stop hating, man.
Yeah, maybe that picture of President Obama from, you know, back in the 80s when he was a young man wearing that Panama hat and holding a cigarette like it was a joint. You know, it was just a cigarette, right? It really didn't have any other meaning. Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, you know? Can't read too much into these things. But I'll tell you what, the next NBA player or NFL player that does a celebration that is the joint smoking symbol, give us a call here at Normal Show Live at 971-533-7111. You'll be the winner of our first open pot smoking athlete of the year award, I guess.
And Russ, I just saw the picture. I think it's definitely a pinch.
It's definitely a pinch.
Definitely. Definitely.
Definitely a pinch. inch, not a 3-point symbol.
Yeah. Well,
send me the link to that, and you got the link right there. I'll pull that up during the break and during the commercials. Folks can take a look at that, and we'll see what they think about that as well. All right, thanks for the news, Carrie. Also, I want to remind folks we got other shows coming up on the Normal Network tonight. You'll want to check out a new episode, and I've verified, new episode of High Times Free Weed with Danny Danko. Episode number 14 is available. The Libra Lounge is available following that at 7 o'clock, so check that out. And a live edition of the Irie Island Hour tonight at 8 o'clock Pacific Time. Wiz Khalik will be here in studio, and we'll lay out some of the best Irie tunes, including new music from Revolution. So check it out. And that sound means it's time for us to take a break. It's 20 after here, 4:20 in the Pacific Time Zone. Light one up with us. We'll be back right after these messages.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
So you're saying she does not have an alibi?
Well, no.
Okay, so we've established she ain't got no alibi. She ugly. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
Screw off.
M. She's major ugly. O. She's fat and pugly. Oh, my God. No, the cow says moo.
The Normal Pack, the political arm of Normal, makes contributions to members of Congress and select state legislators who support our policies and advance legislation towards that end. Elected officials need to see that those of us who support legalization are serious about changing policy, are about more than just getting high, and understand the importance of supporting politicians who support us. Please make a contribution today to the Normal PAC and send it to the Normal Office in Washington, D.C., 1600 K Street Northwest, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 20006. Or go to the Normal website and make a generous contribution. It is an investment in our future and will help assure we finally re-legalize the responsible use of marijuana in this country. Thank you.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, we're really happy to go out to the telephone here and get Wiz Khalik on the line. Not here in the studio, but actually in the virtual studio. How you doing?
Hey, aloha, man. Good. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. And, you know, last week we played, we had NorCal Perps, who usually does this Irie Wednesday, and we played some Revolution. And then Wiz Khalik went, oh, dang it, wanted to play more Revolution. But you know what? That's always good, man. We can always play Revolution. Tell us about this tour and album and all the stuff we need to know.
Excellent. Yeah, well, Revolution, they're a great supporter of the Normal Network. They've been with us for quite some time now. They just put out their new triple album release called Peace of Mind, and it's actually 12 original tracks. It also comes with acoustic and dub versions if you go buy their CD. And they are headed out on tour on their Peace of Mind tour right now. I'll be seeing them with Gone to John here in Portland on Friday, and they're actually just with the Green. So I just wanted to go ahead and play this song. for everybody to get the, you know, the word out about their new album as well as the tour. I want everybody to be sure to go purchase their album at revolutionmusic.com, as well as check out all of their tour dates, because they'll be coming to a town near you very soon.
Right on. So Sky's the Limit, and this is off the new triple, Peace of Mind. Now, when you say it's triple, does that mean it's like there's 12 songs that are the regular version, and then the next disc is the acoustic version, the next disc is the dub version?
Right, yes.
Wow, that's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, it's pretty great, and especially since I get to use all that dub music as bed music for the Eyrie Island Hour. I got to say, I'm pretty stoked.
Let's tell folks about Eyrie Island tonight as well.
Excellent, yeah, the Eyrie Island Hour tonight at 8 o'clock, live from Roller J Studios. We're going to have some new music from Skill and Jaw. I played some from him a couple weeks ago, as well as preview some new tracks off the Revolution CD. And we're going to talk a little bit about the 2012 Cannabis Law Reform Conference taking place this Saturday at Lewis and Clark Law School, which we're trying to get the legalization initiative here on the ballot in Oregon. So that's what we'll be doing tonight on the Eyrie Island Hour.
All right, check it out. 8 o'clock Pacific tonight at live.normal.org with Wiz Calico live here in the studio. This is music from Revolution. New Sky's the Limit off the album Peace of Mind. Check it out. Wiz Calico, thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it. Aloha, everybody.
In life, to sort out the wrong from the right. Someone's in line, but they can't get me down. I got my own self by my side, and mentally we gotta be free. I see the wickedness coming full speed, but I hold together like the ball needs the seam. I'm trying to do something, not nothing. You try to hold me back and that's fine. Nothing you say or do is worth my time. Good day to you, I respectfully decline. And now I'm coming stronger than ever. You say I'm a fool, say whatever. I'm in it for the good vibes together, and the love lasts forever. No time for the wicked. If you're in my line, I'ma go around the sun to still bring it. Sky is the limit, out of my way, you can't get me down. No time for the wicked. If you're in my line, I'ma go around the sun and still bring it. Sky is the limit, out of my way, you can't get me down. Front yards and at the 8-7, summit the scene with the bang and that Senate. And some didn't really work hard to get it. Dream on this ain't dream on your week, but my hands still high, cause in my mind I've achieved. Now be set the pace for a dream, and 6,500 all the living I need. There's nothing you could say to me now. There's nothing you could do to me now. And nothing you could say to me now. Nothing you could do to me now. Yeah. No time for the wicked. If you're in my life, go around the side and still bring it. Sky is the limit, I'm out of my way, you can't get me down. No time for the wicked. If you're on my line, I'ma go around the side and still bring it. The sky is the limit, I'm out of my way, you can't get me down. No time for the wicked. If you're on my line, I'ma go around the side and still bring it. The sky is the limit, I'm out of my way, you can't get me down. No time for the wicked. If you're in my line, I'ma go around the side and still bring it. The sky is the limit. I'm out of my way. You can't get me down. There's nothing.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Fishbone pulled up there. We pulled up today in the van, and I walked out of the building, walked through the big building over there. I walked outside, and I'm walking over by the lake, and I just see everybody casually smoking weed like it's all right. Like it's supposed to be like that.
Because it is all right.
Like you ain't got to worry about no police coming and asking you what you're smoking or what are you doing here, or let me see your driver's license. See, that's how they do it in Amsterdam. Everybody just out there chilling. Ain't nobody stressing. You go buy your weed at the shop. You go kick it, smoke your weed, walk the street, do whatever you want to, and you don't even get messed with.
Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. So much for that amotivational syndrome. Normal News with Cannabis Carry every weekday on Normal Show Live at 7 p.m. Eastern here on the Normal Network. It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of Cannabis Science.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for some cannabis science, so get your questions ready. You can send them in via our chat room here if you're listening on the live 7:30 Eastern hour, 4:30 Pacific. We can also personal message them to Cannabis Carry or to myself in the chat room if you want us to make sure we get them. Also, you can dial in live here on our phone line. It's 971-533-7111 on your questions of cannabis history, science, culture, medicine. Dr. Mitch is here for every question except cultivation. Leave those for Danny Danko. Dr. Mitch, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure.
We always begin by letting you inform us of the latest developments in science and study of marijuana and its consumers. So what's the latest in science news?
Two neat things. A listener emailed me to see that Medscape is covering Donald Abrams' study that shows that essentially opiate use could drop for pain if folks are using vaporized cannabis first, and I'm always happy to see that get some extra coverage. And then I found out today that Understanding Marijuana will soon be translated into Polish.
Oh, far out. We just did a story this week. Cannabis Carry did a story on Polish legislators who were protesting for cannabis legalization. So perhaps getting that book out in Polish will help their cause.
I can only hope.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so Dr. Mitch, I have some questions to start off with, and there's a couple that are showing up in the chat room already, but I want to get to the notion of cannabis and driving. And currently, one of the scare stories that's being spread by people who are opposing Initiative 502 in Washington State is the fact that under 21, they have a zero tolerance per se DUID, no tolerance for THC in your blood. And they're claiming that that means somebody under the age of 21 could end up getting a DUI just by inhaling the secondhand smoke of their joint smoking friends. Is it possible to trip a drug test on secondhand smoke alone?
It's extremely unlikely, and in fact, the research on that is relatively well done. So even if you're pretty much in the hot box in the car with everybody smoking but you, it's still relatively unlikely that you would pass most thresholds for a positive drug test under those circumstances.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I just want to make sure we got that out of the way before we started. Let's get to the questions from our chat room. Our first question comes from Lively Libra, who asks, recent studies on both cannabis and caffeine show a relationship with breast cancer. Does this mean my habit of coffee and ganja in the mornings is actually helping me prevent breast cancer?
This is a curious set of data. The cannabis on breast cancer data are about breast cell tumors and not actually done in humans. So it's not like we've got some big epidemiological study showing that cannabis-using women have lower rates of breast cancer. So we can't draw that conclusion. These caffeine data, I mean, this is actually the second big epidemiological study suggesting modest protective effects with modest use. So we're talking, you know, less than about 300 milligrams of caffeine a day, so about three cups of coffee or less. Yeah, that's working. Once you're above that 600 milligram, you know, five Red Bull line, then we don't see the effect anymore.
Okay. And speaking of caffeine, I had just seen it was my local news or maybe it was national, I forget, but I saw some story talking about some manufacturer who was in the development of a caffeine inhaler, this like air caffeine. And of course, the story was couched in, you know, what about the children? The kids will get a hold of these, you know, air caffeine things. Have you heard of this? And what do you think about that?
So, in fact, some students in the drug class came to me about it just a couple of days ago, and I feel like it's just a little too creepy. like, once they went to the little bitty power five-hour things, I was already thinking, like, you know, we're just a couple steps away from injection here. This is kind of freaking me out. So I'm worried about the fast absorption rate and the impact on cardiac health, because caffeine really does raise heart rate, and unfortunately, people aren't assessing for it a lot, so we're getting students who are my student therapists talking to people in the clinic who say they have panic attacks, and then we realize they're drinking 19 sodas a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that might have something.
Yeah, clearly that's contributing, yeah.
Well, you know, we get a comment on this in the chat room saying, you know, well, yeah, but don't kids consume Mountain Dew by the gallon as well? But I think the difference here would be like consuming Mountain Dew by the gallon is going to take a considerable amount of time, bloat you. I mean, you're going to know that you drank, you know, a whole bunch of Mountain Dew. Whereas these inhalers, I mean, you can take 2, 3, 4, 5 hits without even, you know, before, you know, you've felt the effect of this. I mean, it sounds just a little risky to me.
I have to see the mechanism and how quickly it'll administer a dose and how big that dose is. But I am apprehensive the same way I would say, you know, don't do whiskey through a beer bong.
Yeah, there you go. And you know, you mentioned those 5-hour energy drinks too. And that's kind of something that interests me as well, in that we've seen, you know, what's perceived as a responsible adult dose of a stimulant. You know, let's not kid ourselves. We drink coffee to get stimulated. Go from a cup of coffee to a big cup of coffee to a huge mug of coffee to a 6-ounce Red Bull to these little 1-ounce 5-hour energies. I'm just wondering how far away we are from going back to cross tops. You know, just shrink that all down into a little tiny pill. It just seems that's where we're headed.
Well, and some of the advertising, so this guy is basically like on his way to the gym sucking down one of these things, and I'm thinking this is not the time to do your aerobic conditioning, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. All right, back to our questions in the chat room. Question from Rukamir wants to know, I want to know, is there any documented reactions with cannabis in combinations with other medications a doctor might prescribe?
The only thing we really have established are any of the stimulants, so Adderall, you know, those ADHD type meds, which tend to increase heart rate, and cannabis together can increase heart rate even more, and particularly in older folks lead to some wild arrhythmias. And sad but true, the way Viagra is broken down is interfered with cannabis, and so. I mean, I'm not a fan of Viagra anyway. Like, if you can't get it up, like, just have fun some other way. But the Viagra-marijuana combination is just not one that I can recommend.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're taking your questions here in the chat room. You can personal message them to Carrie or myself, or just put them out there in the chat room and Carrie will grab them for me. You can give us a call here at 971-533-7111 if you'd like to ask live. And if you're shy, you can send your question in by email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And I'm wondering, Dr. Mitch, if you can check, if you've checked the mailbag lately, is there any interesting questions you've gotten through the 420 Research email?
It's been sweet, actually. I'm getting a lot of pretty specific individual case studies on cannabis and both Tourette's, which is that disorder often associated with cussing and swearing and twitching, and just people giving me good news about their response to cannabis on that. And then another email on someone who asked about tremor. And the incidence with tremor is, yes, cannabis does help certain kinds of tremor, but it really depends on how it's generated. So it seems to not do particularly well on some folks with Huntington's, but folks who have cerebral palsy and have tremor seem to respond particularly well. So I can't just say, oh, it's great for tremor no matter what. It really depends on where that tremor comes from.
Okay. So interesting there. And we've got another question coming in from the chat room, this one anonymously. Why is cannabis good for glaucoma? Is it really better than other pressure medications, or was it just the way into the medical door?
It's curious because at the time we discovered that cannabis was good for glaucoma, it really was not some trick. Folks had actually thought that cannabis would make pupils smaller. I don't know exactly how all this got started, and they thought it was somehow going to help police officers identify people who were using the plant, but inadvertently discovered that it does lower pressures. And Bob Randall, who was sort of the first person to really take advantage of that, found that the halos that he would see around lights when he was having bad pressure from his glaucoma disappeared when he used cannabis, and so it all really built from individual cases like that. Currently, we do have some cannabis-based eye drops, Canisol, which is not, at least last I checked, either cheap or available in the United States, so I can't say, oh, hey, this is the one we should all be using because we can't get it. And there are some other eye drops that seem to have a longer duration of impact than inhaled cannabis. So a lot of times if you're using inhaled cannabis to control eye pressures, you have to use it again within 3 hours or so, and that can be relatively inconvenient, whereas the eye drops have some advantages over that. But this was, you know, all in the 1970s when this all got started, and that technology wasn't available.
All right. So really was the best we had, but now we've got some better medications. Is that a summation?
I think that's fair to say. I don't mean to minimize people who are using cannabis for control of their pressures, because some folks don't respond well to the eye drops. And, you know, we're all different, and individual responses to drugs are different. So I'd like to make sure that it's still available for them, particularly if those other eye drops just don't work for them.
Yeah, and especially considering the low side effects of using cannabis, do these other medications have greater risk of side effects?
It's curious because the one thing that you would think shouldn't be a big issue, but is headache. And, you know, I don't know anybody who ever got a headache from cannabis. So clearly, if you're having a headache reaction to the eye drops associated with glaucoma, cannabis would be a better alternative.
Our fantastic chat room has all the facts and figures. Libra tells us that it's $385 a bottle.
Ow.
And how much in that bottle? Probably like an ounce or less, probably, because little.
I mean, even if you only need to drop it a time, that's still, an ounce of gold is more than that, but that's about it.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so remember, folks, if you didn't get time to get your question in here for Dr. Mintz, you can always send your question in to email at 420research@gmail.com, or you can call us back next week. We do this every Wednesday here with Dr. Mintz Earlywine, one of America's leading researchers on cannabis and its users. And Dr. Mintz, I want to thank you for joining us here on Normal Show Live.
Looking forward to next week.
All right, see you next week. Now, coming up next on the show, some time for a radical rant. I'm going to tackle some of the misconceptions about Washington State's legalization initiative, I-502. Back with that right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger Seeds, TGAGenetics.com, and you're listening to Normal Show Live.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Let's get out of here. I have some really good weed back at the hotel.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant. All right, folks, let's dig right into it. Radical Rant today on I-502. I still have my post up there at the blog stash.normal.org, where Normal endorses Washington's I-502 legalization initiative. And now we're up to 37 comments on it. Now I have to admit that many of them are mine, maybe about a third, maybe a quarter of them are mine. But there's some discussion going on about this. And the reason being is because there are people out there, just like there were during Prop 19, largely allied with patients and patients' interests, who are actively campaigning against I-502's legalization. Now, this year, I decided not to call them stoners against legalization, because I think that is not accurate in this sense. I think the people who are opposed to 502 have genuine good faith reasons why they're opposed to it. And I do believe that they want to see the end of the imprisonment of people like me. So I'm not going to call them stoners against legalization. I don't think that applies. This year, I'm going to call them patience against pragmatism, because this is politics, folks. And when it comes down to politics, as in the words of the Rolling Stones, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. So I want to address some of their concerns here. And I want to do this in a respectful way, because, like I said, I believe in that they're making good faith discussions here, and they've got some genuine concerns. And I want to try to allay some of those fears. So let me start with one of these comments that came in last night, 8:44 p.m. And I'm going to name the names, but their names are up there. If you want to go see them, they're at the blog at stash.normal.org. But the names aren't important. Let me just get to the comments, okay? This first comment says, "Legalization? Really? I think that definition and the loose use of words like legalization should be examined here. I would call I-502 decriminalization on one hand with the 1 ounce thing and more prohibition on the DUID lingo, but not legalization." All right, let's get our terms straight, because I agree. We should definitely get our terms straight. Let me tell you what Normal has called these terms, and most people have used these terms over the years. Decriminalization is the end of criminal penalties for the use and possession of marijuana. We have a number of decriminalization states. I live in a decriminalization state. Oregon has decriminalized the possession of 1 ounce of marijuana. You will not get a criminal record, and you will not be arrested for the possession of less than an ounce of marijuana. But you will still be punished. You will still get a ticket of up to $1,000. You will still have your driver's license suspended for up to 6 months, even if you weren't driving when you were caught with that. So decriminalization means it's no longer criminal, but it is still against the law. It's still punished. For example, speeding is decriminalized. Speeding is decriminalized. It's against the law to speed, but you won't get arrested for it, unless you're going, you know, way fast and it's reckless driving, right? But general speeding, you'll just get a ticket, an infraction. Okay, so that's what decriminalization means, and I-502 is certainly not that. I-502 is legalization, and let me explain what legalization is. Legalization is when something is legal, when you are not punished for it in any way whatsoever. Okay, so when I-502 passes, and I got that ounce in my pocket, and I'm stopped by a cop, not only is there no arrest and no criminal record, there's no ticket, there's no driver's license suspension, and most importantly, no probable cause to believe a crime is going on. Furthermore, I-502 legalizes not just the possession of 1 ounce of dried buds, but 16 ounces of hash and hash oil and 72 ounces of tinctures. What about the patients, indeed? What about the patient? 72 ounces of tinctures. Are you kidding me? And you don't want to call that legalization. You don't see that as legalization. Now, the more prohibition on the DUID thing, wrong as well. Prohibition is prohibition of a plant. Prohibition of the possession, cultivation, sales, distribution of marijuana. A per se 5-nanogram DUID is a prohibition against an activity. It's not prohibition. It's not prohibiting cannabis. It's prohibiting what you do if you have used cannabis. Now, again, for the thousandth time, it's unjust, it's unnecessary, it's unscientific. But it's not prohibition. It's not. Prohibition applies to marijuana and your possession thereof, not what you have done after you have used marijuana. Again, I still think it sucks. I agree with you. I'm on your side. Per se sucks, and we'll talk more about that coming up in a little bit. But it ain't prohibition, so don't call it that. Now, the next point that he makes says, about the one-ounce possession issue, it must be bought from a state-regulated dispensary for it to be legal, and the state won't allow for state-regulated dispensaries. There will not be legal ounces if there are no legal dispensaries. Wrong, completely and absolutely 100% wrong. And all you have to do is actually read I-502 to get that. The one-ounce possession of buds and 16-ounce possession of hash and hash oil and 72-ounce possession of tincture exists as a protection all on its own. The only limitation, and this is from the campaign manager, the only limitation in the amounts, the 1 ounce of buds, 16-ounce of solids, 72 ounces of liquids, any combination thereof, and this is the language from I-502, the possession by a person 21 years of age or older of usable marijuana or marijuana-infused products in amounts that do not exceed those set forth in Section 15(3) of this Act is not a violation of this section, this chapter, or any other provision of Washington state law. In other words, it does not say the possession by a person 21 years of age or older of usable marijuana or marijuana-infused products purchased only from state-authorized outlets in amounts that do not exceed, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't have that part in there. Doesn't say where the marijuana had to come from. The statute right there, right there. Section 20, paragraph 3, look it up for yourself on newapproachwaw.org. Possession is not a violation, period. So let's stop spreading that fear-mongering that, oh, yeah, they're going to legalize an ounce, but then there's no legal ounces, so you'll never be able to be legal, because it just ain't so. Now, let me get to another set of comments here. Glad to see that the blog has degenerated to the point that Russ is just talking to himself and a couple of alter egos that all conveniently support Russ's positions. Alter egos. This is one of those last refuges of someone who's losing a debate in a comments forum. It happens on the internet all the time. It's called sock puppetry. They say, oh, well, the reason all those people are supporting what he's saying is because what he's secretly doing is going and making a whole bunch of fake accounts and logging in and saying that he agrees with himself. Folks, if there's a bunch of comments on my blog that are agreeing with what I'm saying, it's because there's a bunch of people out there that agree with what I'm saying. I'm already putting in 2-3 hours a day of research and thousands of words writing on this subject under my own name. Do you really think I have the time and the need to make up fake accounts to go agree with myself? Please. All right, so let's go. Oh, he says, when one edits out all the legitimate debate, there's no reason to come here to discuss anything. This will become a very lonely site, just as it is now. Now, this is the accusation that I'm censoring or I'm not posting comments that disagree, which is absolutely false. They're all up there on the blog if you'd like to read them. I did want to cover that part about the, lonely place. This blog will be a lonely site. Well, we get about 2,000 hits a day. I don't know if that's lonely. We account for about 14% of normal.org's overall traffic, which is ranked in the top 8,300. It's the number 8,397th most traffic site in America, 8397. The next greatest site I can think of that opposes I-502, Tool of the Town, I mean, Toke of the Town, ranks at 11,601. Canacare, let's see, no, THC List, they oppose 502. They come in at 249,000. Canacare, the guy who is posting these comments that opposes me. He's ranked at about 2.6 million. Another one of the commenters' websites, X-Cannabis, comes in at about 2.2 million. Patients Against I-502.org is about 2.4 million globally. So don't be throwing any stones from them glass houses, okay, guys? Let's see, what else is in here from the comments? Just delete, blah, blah, blah. Can't wait to hear the news. Okay, let's see. Oh, I love this one. What the hell has Rick Steves done to get the right message out to the general public? Has Rick Steves done anything to support? And then he lists a whole bunch of other initiatives that didn't have funders, didn't get on the ballot, and wouldn't pass even if they did. No, in fact, during HempFest, Rick just talked smack on one and promoted I-502. Well, here's the deal, folks. I've heard this before. I've heard people say, well, you know, if only Normal would get behind our let's legalize all the marijuana you want, anytime you want, anywhere you want, with no limitations or regulations, and set all the pot prisoners free initiative of 2012. If only they'd get behind that, then it would make it on the ballot and everybody would pass it and we'd live in pot utopia. Ah, this is not the way it works. The way it works in the professional level, you know, among people who have a track record of actually getting things on the ballot and getting them passed. The way this works is that they come to the table with a wish list, right? And they wish, like, gee, here's the legalization we'd like to see. And it's going to be a pretty good list of legalization things that we'd all like. We'd like to grow at home. We'd like to have be able to possess a lot, you know. We'd like to be able to buy and sell it with a minimum of taxation and controls and so on. So we come up with that wish list, right? And then the other side, the prohibitionists, the cops, law enforcement, the legislators out there, the church groups, the parents groups, they come to the table with prohibition and all the scaremongering that's attached to prohibition. And what the professionals have to do is to try to figure out which parts of the wish list turn off a majority of the voters and which parts of the scare list resonate with the majority of the voters. Now, I disagree with some of the choices I-502 made in this. I have said this plainly. However, I understand how they came to these decisions. They must have looked at their wish list, and when home growing was on it, they must have done a poll or found some reason to say, you know what, if we throw this in the initiative, it's not likely to pass. And they looked at the scare list, and they saw that, oh, what about the stone drivers, and what about the children, and said, well, if we don't put something in to address those scares are going to sink this initiative. It's the sausage factory, people. It's politics. It's the way it works. And it almost always sucks in some way. And that's the fact. But I'm really surprised by these people who think this sucks and that we made too many compromises and didn't go far enough and this is not the legalization I was looking for. Don't seem to have the same concern when it came to passing medical marijuana in 1998. I mean, in 96, California set this precedent that said a physician could recommend for any condition for which medical marijuana would be helpful, any condition, and didn't set up any sort of state registry and didn't set up any sort of, you know, big regulations about who could dispense or anything like that. You know, the kind of medical marijuana cannabis freedom that most people that are in our movement would like to see. So when it was time to pass medical marijuana in 98 in Washington State, did they look at what was being submitted there, Initiative 592, and say, oh, well, wait a minute. This isn't like medical in California. Why, there's only 8 conditions for which a person can get medical marijuana. That's not medical. What? PTSD's not in there, for God's sake. 60-day supply? Why, 60-day supply? That's such a vague term that some patients are bound to be harassed by law enforcement who thinks their 60-day supply is a little too much. There's no firm regulation in there as to how much 60 days are. Why, this marijuana initiative is not the medical initiative that we deserve. It doesn't go as far as California, so by God, we should oppose it. Where were the patients against pragmatism then? Oh yeah, they were voting for that because it would give them protection from arrest. They were voting for that because what they have now is the ability to grow 15 plants at home and possess 24 ounces on them. What they have now is the ability to go to some quasi-legal dispensaries and be able to pick from a great supply of varieties of well-cultured and cultivated marijuana. Meanwhile, 16,000 Washingtonians every year get arrested for marijuana violations and have their lives ruined in one way or another for simply possessing less than an ounce of what patients get to possess a pound and a half of. So excuse me if my patience for patience has worn a little thin on this issue. We got behind you when it was time to support medical. It's time for you to get behind us when it's time to support legalization.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
We'll take your calls on the issue. No censorship. Phone number 971-533-7111. Get this discussion going. We'll take it into hour two. For Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons.